This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, December 14th, 2025. Imagine hearing from heaven.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. Thank you for braving the snow today and being in the room. Thanks, everybody online. You know what I'm thinking this morning in both services? What's so awesome about what we do here? It doesn't matter how many people are in the room. It does not matter how big the crowd is. It does not matter how many people are here. There's really only one person who has to show up for worship to happen, and he was here before we got here, and he'll be here after we leave. We're singing to an audience of one. Even if this praise team was here in the room and the room was empty, they could worship with just as much passion as the room was filled because we're singing to an audience of one. Amen? That's who we're here for. That's who we're here for. I do want to give a shout out to all of our teams. I'm so thankful for our trustees and volunteers. They came early this morning to shovel and salt, and our tech team. Barry was here first for everybody else, as always. Everybody that still made coffee and greeted, we just want to give a little bit of thanks for them that's serving today. Can we show appreciation coming out? Thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys are like the U.S. Postal Service, rain, shine, snow, whatever it is. Maybe even better. I don't know. But thank you. So, you know, there's not a lot of verses in the Bible about snow. You surprised by that? Because of where it was written, there's not a lot of verses about snow in here. But I was thinking about one verse I'm aware of that talks about snow. It's from Isaiah 55. And it's actually a really good way to lead into listening to the word. Check this out. Isaiah 55, starting at verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Here it is. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Isn't that good? Be it unto me according to your word. You came here for a reason today. There's a reason you were motivated to get out the door and brave the roads and show up in this room. Maybe even if your home church is closed and you're visiting today because places are closed, welcome. It's just good to be here. Those of you online, there's a reason you're listening. God has a word for you, and it's not going to return empty. So let's pray to have good soil in our hearts and be receptive for what he wants to say. Let's just pray and prepare. Lord God Almighty, thank you for your word that is living and active. Thank you that you already had a plan for every person who showed up today, every person who's tuning in today. Your word is going to speak to us. You're going to meet us where we are. You're going to encourage us and challenge us and guide us forward with that light on our path. Your word is a light on our path and a lamp unto our feet. Lord, I pray that you would give us good soil in our hearts this morning so we can be receptive and that seed of that word could take root in us and bear fruit for our good and others' gain and your glory. We're listening, God. We're listening. We praise you and thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. God's people say, amen, amen. So this is our second week in our Advent journey here. Technically, Advent started the Sunday after Thanksgiving, but we kind of launched in the month of December. So we're at our second chapter of this Advent journey. And last Sunday, we took a little time to kind of lay the foundation and frame, like, what is Advent about? I just want to review that really quickly because this is a season that I think is so familiar that we can sometimes just kind of go on autopilot through it. But we just want to remember that Advent really is meant to be a season of reflection and repentance. It's meant to be a time that prepares us for the arrival of Christ. That's what Advent means. It means arrival. And so in Advent, we take these 24, 25 days leading up to that celebration of Christmas, and we slow down and we look inward and we ask God to help kind of retune our hearts, refocus our hearts, that we would be prepared for Jesus. So we look back at his first arrival, his first coming at Christmas, but we're also looking ahead. We're looking forward to his second arrival, to his return, to his coming. And so Advent is about saying, am I ready for Jesus to come back? Am I ready for his return? That's a challenging question, isn't it? When we look into this story and we try to reimagine, like, what was it like? What happened? We're trying to retune our hearts and refocus our lives to be ready for Jesus to come back, all right? And so the best way we can do that is just by looking at these stories and imagining, what would it be like to have been there? What was it like for these characters? How could I kind of put myself in their shoes? What is the message God has for me in this? Because I want to be ready for Jesus. Today, I want you to imagine Mary. She's like a pretty important character in this Christmas story, right? Imagine Mary hearing from heaven. Imagine Mary hearing from heaven with this history-defining announcement that God brought her when the angel showed up. We're going to look at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 56 this morning. You can open up your Bible if you want to follow along. You'll see the story of Mary getting this unexpected visitor. You probably know this story. You probably heard it, and it's probably become so familiar that it's not strange anymore. But the Christmas story really is kind of a wild and wonderful story when you slow down and think about, like, what is God doing here? Why did he choose to do it like this? We just look at the nativity scene, and it's like warm and fuzzy, and it's so cute, and here's the little animals and everything. But, like, this is a crazy story, guys. It's really amazing and strange and wonderful the way God chose to do this. Let's imagine this morning. When I think of Mary, I think of radical trust and obedience. That really is a defining character trait of this young woman, this hero. And actually, my imagination goes to all those great adventure stories where at some point one character says to another, do you trust me? Like, they reach this pivotal moment where they're going to have to decide, are they going to trust? Are they going to go forward with this adventure? And I did a little YouTube searching, like I was doing some Googling, because I was thinking to myself, man, there's so many scenes in movies where somebody says to somebody else, like, do you trust me? You know what I'm saying? Can you think of something right now? I found this clip called Same Movie, Same Line, Different Movies. And it was like 30 clips back to back to back to back to back of all these famous actors in some different, you know, scenario, like where somebody goes, do you trust me? You know, and it's like the stakes are high and the adventure's on or something's going on. And so it's funny to watch. I can't show it this morning because of the copyright issues on live stream. It's a bummer. But you can think of it. You can imagine these movies. There were all these famous characters, famous actors, you know, Harrison Ford, William Shatner, The Rock, Nicolas Cage, Robert Downey Jr., Millie Bobby Brown, Stranger Things fans here. There's all these different characters. And at some point in the story, they go, do you trust me? You know, and it's hilarious because there's all these different ways that it's spoken by different types of characters. Like, sometimes it sounds sort of like warm and fuzzy, and it's like a lovey-dovey kind of thing, like, do you trust me? And sometimes it's kind of like dangerous and desperate, like they're about to make this crazy, you know, leap into the unknown and some adventurous thing's going to happen. Do you trust me? Sometimes it's even kind of like a sinister thing, like there's a bad character that's like, do you trust me? And they're trying to like gain people's trust. And the reactions are also very different in each movie. Like, some people are going like, yes, I trust you. Or, of course. There's a clip of William Shatner in like a Star Trek movie. And he's like, implicitly, I trust you. You know, but then some of the other ones are like, I think I trust you. Or they're like, in theory. Or they're like, I don't think I have a choice right now. Or even they're just like, no, I don't trust you. In Mary's story today, to me, it's as if heaven is reaching out to her and saying, I've chosen you. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Salvation history hangs in the balance with this young peasant girl's response. And we find out that the reason that she was chosen and the reason that she's revered and blessed above all women is because of her response to that invitation. Do you trust me? Actually, if you zoom out a little bit, you look at the whole Bible, and in some ways, that question kind of frames the story of the entire Bible. Do you trust me? God says. In the very beginning, we learned that humans initially broke that trust. They forsake that trust. And they bought the lie of the enemy, and they decided to trust themselves instead. And so then this whole story is about how God took the initiative to rebuild that trust, even though he wasn't the one that broke it. And he chose one person, one family out of all the peoples of the earth to make this covenant with, Abraham. And he promised that he would bless Abraham and his family to be a blessing to all the world. And it was this relationship based on trust. It was this covenant. And God's saying, do you trust me? And the whole story of this book is that trust being built and broken again and again and again. Never on God's side. He's always faithful. But the people that God is partnering with are routinely breaking that trust. And God is just once again offering and saying, here I am. Do you trust me? Will you trust me? I want to partner with you. I'm choosing you. Do you trust me? So you get to 2 Chronicles 16:9, and the Lord says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Hear that again. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And here at the turning point of history, God's eyes land on this courageous, humble, unknown woman for the most important role ever, to be the mother of the Messiah, to bear God's son, to be God's covenant partner in bringing the Word made flesh into the world. This is the story. Her name is Mary. She's named after the famous Hebrew character Miriam. It's a really popular Hebrew name. That's the sister of Moses, Miriam. When you say Mary, it's the name Miriam. And here's what happened. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, we looked at that story last week, Zechariah and Elizabeth, remember? God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a small town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. He has to say it again. Remember, the angels always have to say that to people because it's scary when they show up. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Jesus is just a Greek form of the name Joshua. And Joshua means the Lord saves. Did you know that? When you say the name of Jesus, it means the Lord saves. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. It's so strange and so wonderful how God works. His ways are so high beyond ours, so different from ours. The way he chooses to do things. Here he is, and in order to make his grand entrance into the world, for the King of Kings, for the name above every name, he chooses this unknown girl with no status. When Gabriel appeared to Zechariah in the temple in the story earlier in Luke 1, again, we looked at this last week, remember, Zechariah is doing his thing as a priest in the temple, and suddenly an angel shows up. It's Gabriel, and he says, you know, you're going to have a child in your old age. It's going to be a miraculous birth, you and your wife Elizabeth, and he's going to prepare the way of the Lord. It's John the Baptist, right? So when Zechariah got that announcement, he was terrified because of the presence of the angel, which any of us would be. You don't see that every day. You'd probably be freaked out too. He was terrified, you know, because this angel showed up, and he had to say, don't be afraid. In Mary's case, the word says she's scared for a different reason. She's troubled by the angel's greeting. You notice that? It says she's troubled by this greeting. She wonders what this might mean because it's so radically different from the way she sees herself. It's just totally shocking to her. Gabriel, the angel, greets her like she's royalty, like she's one of the renowned heroes of faith in the scriptures that she grew up hearing. You know, he says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And she's just like rattled by this because it's like, what? Who are you talking about? It's kind of like in Judges 6 when the angel showed up to Gideon, little scared Gideon. And he's like, he says, you know, "I'm the least in my family of the least tribe of Israel." And the angel greets him and says, "Greetings, mighty warrior. The Lord is with you." And he's like, "Me? What?" You know? You know, in the scripture, there's only three characters who are specifically noted to have found favor with God, where like it notes this specifically. Noah, Abraham, and Moses. And now all of a sudden, Mary's added to that list. And she's like, "What are you talking about? What could this possibly mean?" She's scared. She's troubled. Mary is virtually a nobody from nowhere. She's a poor girl from a backwater town of an oppressed people occupied by the mighty empire of Rome. New Testament scholar Craig Keener, he puts it simply. He says, at this time, with her status, as both a woman and a young person, perhaps as young as 14, not yet married, Mary has virtually no social status. Virtually no social status. And yet Gabriel greets her like a renowned hero of faith because God searched for a fitting partner for his plan and he chose her. Amazing. Now think about this. If you were to ask any random person on the street today, anywhere in the world, "Hey, can you tell me who was the emperor of Rome when Jesus was born? Can you tell me what his real name was? Do you know when he was born?" How many people would be able to tell you? Maybe a few people in this room, you're history buffs, or you read the rest of Luke, and chapter 2 does name him, but like, how many people would tell you, be able to really identify the most powerful person in the world at the time of Mary's life? So his name's Caesar Augustus. His birth name was Gaius Octavius. He was born in 63 BC. I could have told you it was Caesar Augustus because I remember the scripture, but I couldn't have told you anything else without Google about that guy, right? And yet, you have this other character, Mary. If you would go many places in the world today and just walk up and be like, "Hey, do you know who Mary was? Tell me a few things about her." If you showed an image of her, even though we don't know what she actually looked like, but if you showed a painting of Mary, how many people would be like, "Oh yeah, that's Mary. You know, she was the Virgin Mary and, you know, mother of Jesus and something with Bethlehem." And they could tell you some things about her and know some of her story today, 2,000 years later. That's crazy. You have this woman who's virtually powerless that thousands of years later somehow became the most recognized, one of the most recognized figures in the world, second only to her miraculously conceived son. Of greater renown than most kings and rulers like who've ever lived. Most of them are forgotten after a while. Somehow we're still talking about Mary. How did this happen? What is going on? Isn't God's plan just wild? Mary had questions too. She had questions too. She said, "How will this be? How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." No word from God will ever fail. Gabriel stands in the presence of God. He knows. No word from God will ever fail. Again, compare Mary to Zechariah in last week's story. Mary's response versus his. He was older. He should have been wiser. He was a seasoned priest of Israel. And yet his first reaction when the angel came to him and said, "Hey, there's going to be this miraculous birth in your family." What does Zechariah do? He basically says, "How can I be sure? How can I be sure that what you're saying is true? We're really old. Like, We forgot about that prayer long ago. Are you sure about this? And remember what happens, you know? Basically, when God says, do you trust me, to Zechariah, his response is, I'm not sure. I think I need some more proof first. How can I be sure? In contrast, Mary's response is, how will this happen? You see, she assumes it's going to happen. She doesn't ask, how can I be sure? She's like, well, how's this going to happen? She believed it would happen. She just wanted to know how, because she knew how babies were made, and it's kind of a fair question, right? And Gabriel graciously responds by giving her a little more information, which is even more surprising. He says, this child is going to be God's son, conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's how it's going to happen, Mary. I appreciate how N.T. Wright reflects on this. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit will come upon Mary, enabling her, as the Spirit always does, to do and be more than she could be by herself. At the same time, the power of the Most High will overshadow her. God Himself, the Creator, will surround her completely with His sovereign power. Mary is the supreme example of what always happens when God is at work by grace through human beings. God's power from the outside and His indwelling Spirit within together result in things being done which would have been unthinkable any other way. How many of you know about that? Your story is completely different from Mary. It's only one of those. But how many of you have experienced in your life, there's no way I would be saying this. There's no way I'd be doing that. There's no way I'd be here right now if it wasn't for the grace of God. I have no business being here right now if it wasn't for the power of God doing something that's unthinkable for me, and yet it's just what He does. Do you know the same God that Mary knows? I think we do. Be it unto me according to your word. So after this mysterious but powerful explanation, Mary's simple response to the angel's announcement to her is a response for the ages, and it cements her as one of the greatest and most likely heroes ever. Unlikely heroes ever. How did she respond? She said, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Do you think she was scared? Do you think she had a lot more questions? Do you think her head was spinning when she envisioned, like, what are the next 9 months and 9 years of my life going to be like? But she just said yes. Do you feel the weight of that word this morning? Like, can we just reimagine this story and remember it and like be humbled by the faith in that response? God is amazing. God is powerful. God is matchless. He stands alone as the Most High God. His ways are wonderful and beyond our understanding. All things are possible with Him, and He has done everything necessary for our salvation. The only thing He asks from us is to trust Him. That's all He asks. All He asks for is faith. We really don't have anything else to offer Him that is much use. Like, what can I bring you, Lord? But He just says, do you trust me? I just want your faith. And although she's the most unlikely person, the reason Mary is one of the greatest heroes of faith is because of her total trust in God. I think God chose her because He already knew she would say yes. It's like that girl right there. She trusts me. She's going to do what I ask. She's going to respond. She'll follow. Just watch. I know her heart. somehow through the course of her young life, Mary cultivated within her a heart of what I would call preemptive obedience. She gave God a blank check with her life, like totally surrendered, just ready to do whatever he asked. And when God showed up with a shocking, unexpected, hard-to-believe, sacrificial, life-changing calling, Mary's answer was already yes. Yes, Lord, I believe you. I trust you. If you say it, that's what's going to happen, and that's what I'm going to do. Even if it leads me down a road of suffering and turns my life upside down, I know who you are. You are faithful. You are good. You are enough. Be it unto me according to your word. That's the heart. And that's the heart the Lord delights in. You know, God's love language is obedience. If you want to show him love, if you want to bless his heart, just obey him. Like, Lord, you're worthy. I trust you. I don't understand it all. Frankly, Lord, I'm scared. I'm terrified. I don't know how this is going to happen, how this is going to work, but God, I trust you. I'm your servant. Be it unto me according to your word. That's what Jesus said. He said very simply, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, obey my commands. Show me that you trust me. Show me that you believe my way is better. Guys, the way to live in God's favor is to live with that kind of heart. Give him your total, unreserved trust. Give him your surrender. Give him your preemptive obedience. Like, Lord, before you even ask, my answer will be yes, because I love you. That's not easy. It's simple. It's not easy. In fact, a lot of times it's going to feel like death. It's going to feel like dying to yourself. Cultivate that heart. It's not easy in this world, because life leads us through trials and disappointments, and the world and the enemy fill us with lies, and our vision of God's faithfulness can become clouded by our broken experiences and our broken hearts. And so how do we cultivate the heart of trust and preemptive obedience in a world like this? Honestly, it's just by walking it out one day at a time, one step at a time. Coming to know God as he truly is. Holy, good, powerful, perfect, all-sufficient love. The more you come to trust him, the more you'll come to know him. And the more you come to know him, the more you'll come to trust him. And so we just lean more and more on the grace of God with each new adventure, one step at a time. This Advent season, let's put time in to cultivate and renew our surrender and our trust in God. What if we just let this prayer sit in our hearts and ask God to strengthen our faith? Just to pray throughout this season, Lord, would you help me to deepen my trust in you, so that when you call me to something, anything, my answer is a wholehearted yes. Yes, Lord, because I love you. Because you loved me first. Because you're greater than I am. So I trust you. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Let there be a yes in your heart this Christmas. Or you could put it much more simply than that. You could just use the words of the most blessed woman who ever lived. I am the Lord's servant. Be it unto me according to your word. Let's pray. God, thank you that you have shown yourself worthy of our trust. You've given us your word. We see the history of salvation, the history of what you've done throughout the earth in order to bring us to this point where we could freely know you and freely approach your presence because of the fullness of time, sending your son Jesus to be our Lord and our Savior. We can see your track record and see that even when things don't go the way we expect, even when the journey is twisty and turny and unexpected and challenging, and when we have to wait longer than we expect, or we get disappointed and things don't go the way we want them to go, you prove yourself faithful time after time after time after time. Your word is true. You're the God of covenant who's faithful to 1,000 generations and beyond, to those who fear you. Lord, we want to be among those people today who have a holy reverence and fear for you, who have a trust for you implicitly, who know your goodness and your love and your glory, and know that therefore we can say yes to whatever that calling is. God, I pray for people in this room and people tuning in online whose hearts have become hardened or their hearts have become cold because disappointments are all sorts of things that can get us off track. And Lord, I pray that your spirit and your power would break through today to give us hearts of flesh, hearts that are moldable and soft in your hands, so that our lives can go your way, your plan, your kingdom, your will here on earth as it is in heaven. We really can't give you anything that you don't already have. All you're asking is for us to give you our trust and our faith. And so, Lord, here we give it to you, even if it's the size of a mustard seed. We're so weak and we're so small, but we give you our trust because you are awesome. Stir up faith within your people in this season, God. Stir up a fresh faith within us. You're so good. Pour it out in this room, Holy Spirit. If we could have one gift this Christmas, we just ask for the gift of an increased sense of faith and expectation and who you are and what you can do. All things are possible with God. No word from God will ever fail. Be unto me according to your word. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we pray today. God's people say, amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.